I be playing.
Hello, and welcome again to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Mark Mayfield with the Office of Student Media here at the University of Alabama, and with me are co-hosts Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs at UA, and Andrew Deere, Coordinator of Informal Recreation on Campus. We have another big Saturday of college football today, with Alabama facing Arkansas this evening and other big games that will have an impact on the national rankings and conference standings. Adam, we've had a relatively quiet week around here compared to a week ago when news broke about Bama's second-string quarterback Blake Burnett transferring. We also had that news about a misdemeanor arrest of one of the best players in college football, Alabama's Tim Williams. This is a little quieter, but a bigger week for Alabama if you talk about the strength of competition with Arkansas.
Yeah, bigger game. Luckily, fewer off-field issues with the football team this week, certainly. I think that was very interesting last week. Certainly two huge names in Alabama football. Blake, who we've certainly been talking about a lot more than he's been playing, and Tim Williams also getting suspended. So off the field, it seems to be relatively quiet for the team this week, which is generally a good sign, I would imagine, especially going into the beginning of a really tough stretch for our season, being one of the teams out there that's still undefeated.
Yeah, I think it was good. It was good that, you know, Alabama played Kentucky last week with the off-the-field issues, and, you know, word was going around that inside the locker room everything was fine and they were focused, and really it showed on the field on Saturday, Kentucky not being a real tough opponent, but they still had to come out, execute, and take care of business, which they did. So that was definitely good to see from Alabama.
Absolutely, and they're a real team. You're right that they're not as talented as Alabama, certainly, but they're next level to some of the opponents that we've beaten up on a little bit this year so far. And it was homecoming here in town, and so it was a big week overall. And so luckily we ended it with a big win that Saturday evening, and can start focusing on Arkansas for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look back with Kent State and Kentucky back to back like that, you know, it's tough for a team like Alabama, ranked number one, such a good team, to get up for those games. Obviously, it's not tough in their scheme with the process Saban has, but you get the feeling like for all of us fans at least, the eyes are on the road this next stretch of four games, which is really tough coming up, including, you know, they'll have the bye week after these next three, and then they got LSU and Baton Rouge. But for the team, you know, that's got to be still like they're bigger fish to fry, than Kentucky and Kent State. And they came through those really well. They got some injuries, which was a little problem, but nothing significant in terms of what's going to hurt them down the road.
And I think we beat both of those teams in the way that we should have beaten both of those teams. And so we didn't play down to competition, and we didn't kind of mess around and play a different game in either of those weeks. And you're right, Mark, we've got a tough stretch coming up. We're on the road, and our only rewards for going on the road at Arkansas and Tennessee are to come back here to a Texas A&M team that could very well be undefeated or have maybe one loss by the time they get here, and then take a week off, and then to go to Baton Rouge. And so we really have the meat of our schedule coming up now, which is saying something, being that we've already played Ole Miss and USC on either the road or neutral sites, and so it's no stretch to ignore, certainly.
This is the part of the season that really gets exciting as well. Once you get into game five and game six, you really see, you know, how the team is going to play out the rest of the year. And like you said, the next three games on the road are going to be absolutely huge and really dictate whether Alabama's going to go back to Atlanta or not. Yep. And then on from there, hopefully. So it really is interesting to see how they react these next 3 weeks. And as a fan, it's really exciting.
Separation has started in our conference and really nationally.
Right.
And that will continue over the next couple of weeks. And pretty soon here we get the first poll that comes out that will kind of set the tone for where people are headed for the rest of the season. As you guys know, too, where you end up in that first poll matters quite a bit. I think that comes out in, what, next two or three weeks,
I think? November 1st.
November 1st. Like they backed it up a little bit.
Yeah, they backed it up a little bit, but it's coming.
And so it's tough to make up a lot of ground from November 1st to December 1st.
You want to get in on that first one, and you want to stay in those top four. So that's huge.
But absolutely. It's, I mean, you know, if you think about it, this is, you know, we all talk about how tough the SEC is. This is really what underscores that Bama's next four games. Mm-hmm. But these next three games are all against ranked teams.
Right.
I mean, with Arkansas and A&M and Tennessee. And this is tough. Tennessee's suddenly playing. I don't know what's going on there, but they are just, you know, people are calling them a team of destiny. They're winning these games. That Hail Mary thing, you got to start to wonder, what's going
on
there.
Very similar to the 2013 Auburn,
that
Auburn
junkie
team.
Auburn team it's from a few years ago.
Right.
That junkie team from Florida last year.
Right.
That's a bad
team.
That won
10 games.
It's a bad team that is winning. And I think Tennessee's better than that team, and I think Tennessee probably has more, not more, but similar talent to what Auburn had in that other team. But finding a way to win, I know it's such a cliche, but they're finding new and confusing ways to win.
So – going into the season, you could look at their schedule and say, hey, Tennessee could be 5-0. But with the way they've played, would you really expect them to be 5-0?
Yeah, I don't know. But I have to say, your jaw just drops when you see an ending of a game like last week with Tennessee.
Absolutely.
And you go, something's going on here. And I don't know. Of course, and we can talk about this in our next segment a little bit. But I thought, you know, I'm not a coach, so – but. I would like to see teams on those Hail Marys just play their normal defense. Rush the guy. Rush the quarterback.
Right.
Put pressure on Dobbs. He had no pressure. What were they rushing, three people?
I mean,
you know, if he's got all day to sit there and you know, he's going to at least throw it to the end zone and lots of stuff with that. But the point is, for Bama, though, these are good teams they've got coming up beginning this evening. And so it's a tough run. Look at a team like Houston, which could make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But their big game is like Louisville. They did have the Oklahoma game, and they won that. But the rest of their season, if you take a look at
that,
they don't have to go through a stretch like this. But if you're playing in a Power 5 conference, this is what you have to do, especially in the SEC.
And that brings up the question, does a no-loss or does a one-loss Houston team go over a two-loss SEC team or a two-loss Big 12 team? So I think that is interesting. The way that'll play out.
Yeah, and Louisville's still not out of it. That game, you know, Louisville, that was a huge game with Clemson, and
that
could have gone
game.
Either way.
Yeah.
I mean, if James Quick gets that first down, Louisville's most likely going to win that game. It is interesting how it comes down to those plays.
Individual plays, right. When you watch every snap, you can see how one really flips the game.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell that kind of weeks later looking back on it, but a couple snaps here or there can make a big difference there. And I agree with you, Mark, in that Tennessee-Georgia game. You got to dance with the girl that you came to the dance with sometimes, right?
And you
we prevent defense so often in those situations. And really, the only person who jumped for that ball was the guy who caught the ball. Everybody else just kind of watched it. And so
I love how Butch Jones says we practice that every week. And I get that. I believe him.
Yeah,
but it's just – it's so funny how – I just think it's hilarious. It's like, we knew we were going to win. We practiced this. And it's
practice
like,
that
come
against
on,
a
it's
practice
like,
squad, right?
That happens 0.05% of the time.
Yeah.
And so it's – I don't know. And it's not just Butch; it's coaches
it's
all
everybody.
Over. And I think it's hilarious how they spin that.
I don't know. I just think if you don't get pressure on a quarterback on a Hail Mary throw like that, your odds of that Hail Mary being successful go up.
You're putting the pressure on everybody back there instead
of
putting the pressure on the guy who should have the pressure, and that's the quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
You're absolutely right because they're not protecting him at that point. They're throwing everybody out there, and so
And you're giving that quarterback all day to get his stance perfect. You know, to throw it that far, you've got to really have your feet set. You're letting him get his feet set so he does not have to throw it on the run. And he's going to throw a pass, you know, into the end zone, and it's anybody's ball at that point.
Before you even get to that point, you know, Georgia's kicking themselves over the unsportsmanlike with the celebration, and then not pooching it, but not kicking it deep. I mean, there were so many things that had to happen for Tennessee to get to where they were.
4 seconds of time on one of those kind of kicks. That 4 seconds is really valuable enough that you're not going to kick it deep. Just kick it out of the end zone and save yourself 25 yards. I don't understand in this day and age.
Back them up. Why give them that kind of a yardage to begin with?
I think there's a lot of questions about Georgia's team and it's your first year, I get it, but they've got a lot to figure out too. And back to what you said, Mark, too, I think if you ask most people, is Tennessee undefeated? If you ask me, I kind of think Tennessee's lost two games so far, right?
I mean,
they lost to App State, right? So turns out that they lost neither of those games. That's exactly what I felt last year. We talked about Florida every week last year, and I just assumed that they had three L's and they just didn't have three L's.
Especially when you know the Treon Harris came in and the quarterback got suspended. That was. how they continued to win everything was incredible.
Like with Tennessee, I kept thinking, I'm thinking about Bama match, how they're going to match up as I'm watching Georgia play them. And Georgia's running all over. Mm-hmm. I mean, Georgia's winning on offense. They're winning the battle at the line of scrimmage. They seem to have gotten away from that, late in the game. But, I'm thinking, Bama's going to run all over this team. But then here comes this miracle finish of Tennessee. Yeah, so there's something about it, and Bama's going to have to be prepared. The problem is – the good thing, I guess, for Alabama with Tennessee, though, is Tennessee's got a tough game today
A&M. They absolutely do.
Bama's got a tough game this evening with Arkansas. So neither team gets a break, but I think – I don't know.
Assume our odds at – that stretch are better than their odds. We're more used to that kind of tough game after tough game after tough game. To us, have a mental letdown is far less likely, theoretically, than
and Bama's better team on the road than Tennessee or any other SEC team.
I think another interesting thing about the Tennessee team, if they come out and play like they're capable of in the first half, they're destroying Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're going to destroy Appalachian State. And so I think that is one of the key things about Tennessee is if they come out and play like they're supposed to, Bama's in trouble next week, and Texas A&M is in trouble today. Like I said, they've got to worry about Texas A&M, who's a tough opponent, who I don't think any of us expected to be 5-0 and have played the way that they've played.
They would have started their stretch of losses at this point, but they haven't.
With the improved defensive, with Chief there as defense coordinator, that defense has really, really taken off. I saw a stat the other day that said they have 50 tackles for losses on the season, and the next team has 33.
Miles Garrett, I mean, you got to have two people on him. You automatically are behind just having to deal with him. He disrupts everything. He'll be a Hall of Famer in the NFL at some point if he doesn't get injured.
Very, very Von Miller-esque.
Yeah. So they've got that. But, again, just think about that, though. We're talking about A&M, and that's three games away from now. So it's like you were saying, Adam, Bama has to play these other two games. Then they get to come home against best A&M team since maybe better than when Manziel was there his first year.
So, a more consistent team.
For sure.
Yeah,
that's no reward, really, at home.
No.
Congratulations on, getting through these road victories. You have Texas A&M home.
Yeah, it's tough. But I think of the three teams. I think A&M right now is playing better than than Arkansas or Tennessee. If you just look at how they played and how they've taken care of business, they've had a couple of close calls. Arkansas game they had, that kind of thing.
Tennessee has the benefit of being in the East.
They do.
In the current East, and so
they do.
I think they've got an easier stretch to get to Atlanta and to get to the Georgia Dome, and so that'll be what's interesting is that whether they play spoiler on the West or not, they really have their own fate in their hands.
Right. Getting through Florida and Georgia was huge for them.
Absolutely.
Because then on the back end you got Vanderbilt, Missouri, Kentucky, and then obviously
Texas. They
already
played South Carolina?
They have in South Carolina. They haven't yet.
Yeah.
South Carolina still plays football?
Right. They do,
They have a team.
They do have a team. Yep.
I think they might have a team.
I plan on going to a game of theirs later in the season in Gainesville, so I hope they have a team.
I think they're actually paying people to attend, I think. I'm not sure about that.
Going to see USC Florida in the swamp? That is going to be a terrible time.
It is. Luckily, my best friends will be with me, so we're gonna have fun either way.
But I would start making new friends if they're coming with you to that.
Right.
I think you may want to reconsider.
The good thing is ticket prices are going to be down because those two teams have some losses. So.
Well, the thing about Tennessee, they've had the run with Georgia last week, which is not a great team. They've got A&M this week. They got Bama. They got nobody after that. They got Kentucky. They got South Carolina. They will win the rest of those games. So
take two L's on the West,
and they can still win the East.
They can take two L's on the West and still win the East and play possible spoiler in the conference championship.
Right.
They can win that and be a two loss, like your point earlier about Houston. Be a two loss with Notre Dame out of it, with other teams out of it. Imagine Houston taking a loss, then a two loss Tennessee team could be in the mix. Strangely enough,
right. And it is interesting that Alabama and Tennessee could, if this happens, they could play twice.
Yeah.
So and you never know what could happen in that second game.
Yeah.
It's always tough for whoever wins the first game to win two.
Oh,
two
gosh, it's the worst thing in the world. I agree.
Right.
It's going to be.
Let's
not
talk about
rough.
1996.
Absolutely.
We won't get into that.
Yeah. Okay, that sort of sets the tables for today's big games. And let's take a short break. We've got to talk a little bit about last week because it was a crazy weekend of college football. So we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Before we make picks for today's games, let's take a look back at a truly, truly crazy weekend of football last week. I did not have the pleasure of being here in the studio, but I did get to watch some of the games. As we all know, there were some incredible finishes, especially in the 2:30 time slot. Luckily for me, the Tennessee-Georgia game kind of took a little bit of the sting away from the UNC-Florida State catastrophic loss. And so,
walk us through your thoughts on that game.
You know, I don't know that I can crawl you through my thoughts right. on that game. It was an ugly game for the Florida State team for sure. And as a longtime fan, I kind of knew we were going to lose even when we scored that last touchdown and went up. You know those feelings where
right.
you're just like, well,
they're doomed.
23 seconds, you're right. just going to lose it, and you're just going to lose it. And so that's kind of the other side of being a homer is that sometimes you absolutely hate your team more than anybody else in the world
because right.
you're so critical of them. And so luckily that game ended pretty quick, and then we were able to transfer to the Tennessee-Georgia game, which took a little bit of the you know, the press has left Florida State alone to some degree because they spent a lot of time talking about Tennessee Georgia. And so, you know, I'm the only one who picked Georgia out of this group. And I thought if Nick Chubb had that many yards,
yeah,
it was easy.
Right.
I thought that was the difference.
Well,
period.
They took a lead with what, 20 seconds left?
Right. I mean, yeah. it was 10 seconds left.
10 seconds, yeah.
That was amazing. And we had not recovered in my house from the Florida State game yet, so I was the only one paying attention because I needed something to
right,
focus on
right.
until I yelled some words, and then everybody turned around and said, oh, my gosh, he caught the ball. So it was quite a game. I took a hit last week, right? 9-9 or something?
Yeah,
was
you did. Yeah, you didn't have a great week.
I picked a few upsets.
Who won last week? I don't remember.
Well, you,
I don't
you might have won.
Could you recall? Oh, okay. It was me, right?
I think
yeah,
it was the
did.
Dearly departed George Brown, right?
Okay.
No? It was somebody else?
Yeah. I think it was somebody else. It might have been the rookie
the
here
rook,
on
yeah.
the show. He went 14-4 last week.
Yeah.
That's really good.
And the Cal game was one that that got me there at the end.
That was a tough.
I think I've lost every Cal pick this year. We've picked them a lot as well. Which
brother,
is...
join the club, man.
right?
I've been losing games on Cal for 2 years straight. I've been losing games on people from Arizona. I don't care if you're state or university of. Either way, you burn me.
Right.
whether you're Sun Devil or Rich Rod. I can't understand the Big 12 and what's happening with Oklahoma. I think it's interesting that they've kind of put together a little run against TCU's not a great team this year, but... That's
but
a real
you
win.
Come out,
it was a real
you
win.
You got to come out and play.
Yeah, and it was at TCU on the road,
yeah.
and they won it. So,
I went out on a limb, I think, with a couple. You know, the Wisconsin pick for me and the TCU pick were two upsets that I thought were relatively safe bets, and I didn't see Arizona State as that big of an upset, but that USC team is kind of pulled together
to
some
they
degree.
Have.
Right.
And they're playing far better football than they played week one.
I think them,
they
being,
are. They are.
Them being out of the media the past couple weeks has been good for them.
Been helpful.
You know, it seems like they've put their head down and played good football.
Well, and in the Twitter sphere that the three of us live in, sadly, over the weekend, Friday night, you know, Stanford really just getting their butts whipped
right.
by
How about
Washington.
That?
That really surprised me. We all picked Stanford.
Absolutely.
We all started
Without
out, including our Big Ten correspondent now,
right.
George Brent. We all started out 0-4 for the weekend.
And
I mean, we 0-1 for the weekend, all four of us.
And everyone's talked about Washington being, you know, the upcoming team this year. And I don't think any of us really
believed it
or expected it. And so they're here. I wouldn't say they're back, but they're here.
I like their mascot, Huskies. I think it's
good.
I think we've talked about on this show before. I love their stadium. I've been there. It's right on the water. Those people go out at halftime in their boats.
Yeah, it's
you
cool.
know, and
I'm a sucker for purple and gray. It's a good color scheme. Looks good together.
And it's great for the Pac-12 to have Washington playing well.
I mean,
it adds a new twist to that. It's not just Oregon and Stanford and USC. And, you know, now Washington's in there. And they look like a great football team.
They also need it because UCLA's down, USC's down.
Yeah.
Oregon is not who they once were. And so thinking of Stanford as being the class of the Pac-12 – and then getting whooped on a Friday night primetime game, it really adds something because if Stanford loses to somebody else at that point, then you've got no clear. Right. Then you've got the Big 12 again. You've got kind of no head dog.
And when Peterson left Boise State, this is what you expected Washington to be, right?
Right. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
And with the caliber of team that he was building at Boise State, or this is what Washington, I guess, was hoping for. And
yeah, this is why they hired him.
So. I think it's
how does he have players is my question.
I don't know.
Who the heck is going to Washington?
Well, it's like at Boise, he did. You know, he had two stars and won all those games.
Although
he didn't have the Power Five schedule then that he has now, and so but he's a great coach. I mean, obviously. And also with Stanford, you know, McCaffrey's Heisman campaign died last week. I mean, it just died. I don't think you recover from that.
No.
And
especially
also
with Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. I mean, especially with other people, what they're doing. It's
with other, honestly, East Coast, middle of the country people that people see a lot more of, too. You've got to be a little bit better out west to, I think, get on people's radars.
Yeah. I think the Pac-12's biggest hope now for the playoffs is Washington because Stanford, even if they win the Pac-12, they've lost a game 44-6.
They
still would have a chance if they go on and win the Pac-12. But Washington going undefeated would be in the playoffs, probably.
Yeah. One more thing about Washington before we hopefully stop talking about them. But I do think what's interesting, you know, Coach Peterson is not winning games in the same way he did at Boise either. So he also showed that they're playing a little bit more pro style, a little bit more.
Right.
It's not gimmicky football. It's not on a blue field and being silly.
Thank
it's
goodness.
Not. I mean, it's
it's not the Statue of Liberty play to beat Oklahoma. It's not.
So
yeah.
He is.
Not Smurf ball now.
No,
right.
He's playing. He's playing Power Five football in a Power Five conference at Washington with Lord knows who the players are. I'm just not even really sure.
I honestly can't name one player.
No. Yeah. So good for him. He's been able to adapt to what he needs to do to win ball games, and it's working. And whether it works the rest of the season or not will be the question. But it's another league where you can probably lose a couple games and make it to the championship and make it a little more interesting. And if these non-Power 5 teams and fake independents like Notre Dame continue to lose games, then it's going to be interesting. Same in the ACC, like you all mentioned a little bit off air, you got Clemson and Louisville. Neither one of them are out of it.
They really are not, especially after the game on Saturday night. Goodness
and Louisville
gracious.
Didn't drop that far in the rankings.
No.
And they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you play a game like that, you should get the credit.
How it should work.
Yeah, it's how it should work. Unless you just get wiped out.
Right.
If you know, Louisville could have won that game.
That was a playoff quality game, too.
That's
what you want to see in the Final Four. You know, that's what you want to see on New Year's Eve, for sure.
So I want to ask Andrew how he picked Penn State over Minnesota and how he really sold out George Brown.
Honestly,
is that true?
He did.
Yeah, it was gut feeling.
He's the only one.
So I think
I
am stuck on the fact that I saw James Franklin win 9 games at Vanderbilt.
Right.
And I think that's why I keep going back to the Penn State. Well, I just keep going back. And just completely honest, I think that's why I keep picking him.
He burned Mark and I for 2 years because we thought the same thing.
Right. Vanderbilt doesn't beat Tennessee often, and when they do, I was unfortunately there for the last time they did it. So I've seen the guy win some games, and I've taken that.
I thought that was the most surprising kind of pick that went the other way. The us all losing the Texas pick, us all getting that wrong.
Right.
You know, I think we were whatever.
How about the Charlie Strong rumors this week?
That's something.
You know, this is third year. So Texas is one of those programs where you're not going to last if you don't win. You're just not. And so,
especially the way he came in, and I thought it was great what he did. He clearly had a lot to clean up.
He did.
You know, you do that sometimes when you take over from a long tenured coach, that things get loose and you've got some stuff to fix. And so that, in his mind, probably buys him a little more than 3 years, but not in the mind of boosters, not in the mind of Texas football.
And the loss to Oklahoma State, Texas is not supposed to lose to Oklahoma State.
No,
Oklahoma
never.
State's a good football team, but not Texas. They think now, you know, Texas is sort of like USC was against the Alabama game. They're not at the level of Alabama.
No.
Texas is not back at the level of these elite teams, but their fans think they should be.
Right.
And that's what happens. The pressure at Texas is enormous.
It feels like every couple of years we're having this conversation of the coach. Does the coach get the fourth year? Do they get the fifth year when fans want it done in year two and three? And so Charlie Strong is part of that conversation this year. It's really interesting to see what Texas will do at the end of the season. I don't know how many games he has to win to stay on. But I mean, I think he can lose to Oklahoma. But other than that,
I think it's about done. Because I also think, and this is clearly biased by a bunch of people who live in the Southeast. But if you're a 16, 17 year old kid out there right now playing football, you maybe remember Vince Young, but you largely have not lived your life at a time where you've thought about going to Texas, unless you live in Texas. And if you live in Texas, you know, you remember more about TCU, you remember more about Texas A&M, you remember more about heading over here to Alabama than you do about going to Longhorns.
I think that's what Texas people – I think the Texas folk, I think they hate that, though.
Yeah.
You know, they hate thinking of, well, TCU's better than us, and obviously so because of the tradition at Texas and, you know, the teams that they've had over the years. But I feel like if you said that to a Texas fan, they're going to
– Oh, absolutely.
They're going to crawl all over them.
Right.
But it's the truth of truth of the matter.
I mean, what happens.
That's the reality.
Where they're at.
If you're a quarterback, you want to go to A&M in Texas.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you're going to stay in state, that's where you want to go, or TCU.
Yeah, but if you don't want to go to Texas. You go to TCU, and you don't want to go to Texas. You don't.
Right.
And so you got to remember, we're recruiting these student athletes, quote-unquote, 15, 16, 17 years old at the latest. And so a 15-year-old right now has really not been aware of a Texas team outside of the Vince Young team. And they're certainly not looking up to the Colt McCoy years. They're not looking up to being number four at the end of the season. They're looking up to teams that have won national championships, and they're not Longhorn teams.
If you think about all the hot seats, there could be a lot of major openings. You know,
yeah, a lot
Texas,
of great jobs
at LSU, depending on how they finish with Orgeron this year.
But USC I feel like USC looks not close with Kelton.
You're right. USC, I mean, these teams, you know, I happen to think Auburn is going to have, you know.
Yeah.
I still hadn't bought my ticket for the Gus bus.
No, I think they're going to be looking for interviewing some bus drivers there.
And the wild thing is 2 years ago, that's crazy talk, right?
I know. But that's the way it is.
That was a brand new bus. It was a weird year.
Got new TVs.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We can't forget how that whole coaching situation went down, too,
know,
and how strange that was.
Right.
They fired a coach that was doing pretty well in order to bring back Archie State guy and all that. I mean, and then they were the team of destiny that, you know, I know this is very much an Adam thing to bring up, but let's not forget the fact that they lost that national championship, too. So the team of destiny generally wins in the end.
You're right about that.
They don't
get
beaten in one of the most exciting finishes to a championship game that
we've ever had.
Right.
That's very true.
I mean, let's not forget that they lost that game. They forgot. TV forgets. ESPN is forgotten. In the Starrett household.
We have forgotten our show.
That's all I have to hold on to at this point.
I can say, I still was on, you know, I was on the sidelines for that kick six, and it's still a nightmare.
Yeah, I
didn't know that about.
I went, you know, I was in the press box.
You were ready for overtime.
And with a press box, you can go to the field the last few minutes of the game. I'm standing there on the Bama sideline, and that was, and then they rushed the onrush of the students, and that was a complete disaster. As the Crimson White's headline, which they won what award for, said, the nightmare in Jordan Hare. That's what it was.
That was the first game I watched as an official Alabama employee. So agreed to come here literally like days before there. And I was like, all right, I'm going to cheer for Alabama. This didn't go so well. That was a tough stretch.
That was crazy. You know, and those games like that tend to overshadow. Bama loses so few games now with Saban that those games tend to overshadow everything.
They stay with you.
Because there's so few of them, they stay with you, especially that one,
having
lost like that. And the Cam Newton one here in Tuscaloosa in 2010 was like that, 24-0.
Johnny Manziel.
The Manziel thing, you know, the good news for all of us Bama homers is those are few and far between.
When you got five L's a year, they kind of all run together. You know, when you've got one every 3 years, then they're
you can remember exactly about everything about it.
Right. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, Auburn and their high school offense, you know, we'll see how they do this year.
You know,
we're talking about A&M and Arkansas and LSU and Tennessee, and I don't know about you two, but I'm not even too worried about Auburn right now. I'll get worried about them if they get better.
Well, there's too many big games coming up to be worried about
It's their ability to be pure spoiler. And in a rivalry game, that means a lot. In any of these major rivalries, and I feel this way certainly about Florida State and my wife about Ohio State, Michigan, an awful team on either side of that ball can beat the other because of rivalry, because of being a spoiler, because of whatever's going on at that time. I also think it's, as somebody who's watched a bunch of the Ohio State season so far, that's a team that's going to be tough getting on that hasn't gone into their tough part of the schedule yet either.
Right.
But
right.
They're coming up with Wisconsin and Michigan at the end of the season.
And
that team is starting to click in a different way than they have the last couple of years. And
it's a good football team.
That'll be interesting to watch.
It's hard to say with their competition so far,
Absolutely, but obviously,
it's a good game. They did have the one game with Oklahoma, I guess, right? But other than that, they hadn't played anybody. But you know it's a good football team.
They're never dominating people.
Yep.
Right. And they never quite clicked last year, and they're starting to click a little earlier than they have in the past. So.
All righty.
Well, that's we'll see. We'll see very soon whether this week turns out like last week. Hopefully it does not for some of us. But you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Let's take a short break, and we'll be right back to make our own genius picks here on 90.7.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7, The Capstone. All right, guys, let's make some picks. We'll begin with George Brown's Minnesota Golden Gophers against Iowa. What do you think, Mark? Talk to me about that.
Well, I'm going to go with Minnesota. You know, I think I pick Minnesota every week, and they let me down last week with you picked Penn State, and you had that right, Andrew.
I knew what I was doing. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, you knew it. You had it in the bag. I'm going to go with the Gophers, and they're at home. That's mainly why I'm going with them. I know Kirk Ferentz is a nice guy, too,
kind of
with the Mark Richt School of Coaching.
He is.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, I think he will be there forever. He has a lifetime tenured contract, I believe, as coach. They just seem like if they win 8-9 games a year, go to a bowl, they'll never fire him. But I think he loses at Minnesota. I think they win this one.
It pays very well to be the top of the middle. And so I think that they're doing pretty well. I've gotten by the majority of my life trying to do that as well. I'm going to go Minnesota. As I've shared on the show before, my mom is a Golden Gopher, and now we've got George Brown up there. I think they should be playing this whole season really for Prince, quite frankly, and I'm surprised they haven't gone purple in their uniforms.
Absolutely.
I know.
Why are they doing that?
I don't know. I think they should dress that scary gopher kind of graphic on the big screen.
Yeah,
they should maybe dress in the old kind of question mark sign. Yeah. Right? I'm with you, Mark.
They're
missing out
on a big marketing opportunity.
I know.
Right. Maybe the band's going to do some.
Maybe.
They probably already have.
They probably are.
We would not know.
We'll ask George.
I'm going Minnesota
here in the Big Ten. I'll watch this game, too. I'm looking at 11 o'clock slate. Maybe I won't watch this game.
Yeah,
I'll check in on it.
Guys, picking against Minnesota last week helped me out. I'm going to pick against them again. I think I'm going to go with Iowa for
you
sure.
Can have
oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Give me Iowa. I'll take my chances.
This is what happens, Andrew, when you get a little taste of winning.
That's right.
You get a little taste, and you think it tastes pretty good, and you gorge yourself on that.
Right,
and then what happens is that you've got to –
My buddy Stephen Middleton always says, if you get cute, you get killed.
Yeah.
So sure. I'm getting cute here. We'll see how that plays out.
What happens,
You're a Hawkeye this week.
That's
right.
Another 11 a.m. game. We got Maryland at Penn State. I probably won't be watching that one, but Adam, talk to me about that one.
So, you know, the fine folks of Maryland, I spent a few years in the state of Maryland, and one thing about the state of Maryland is that they love them some state of Maryland. And
they
so
love them tarps.
They do. They do. And they Under Armour, they love those fancy uniforms. I'm going to go with Maryland because I like Maryland, and I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're as awful as they've been the last few years, but I don't think Penn State can handle winning 2 weeks in a row, quite frankly. I think the Terps go in there with some version of their uniform and beat them up.
All right. I'm going to go with Penn State. I'm going to, I guess you won me over on that, Andrew. I'm not sure if you're even picking them this week, but I'm going with Franklin and Penn State, and we'll see, only because it's at, you know, Happy Valley. Otherwise, I would be going.
Right. I'm also sticking with Penn State. Like I said, probably a rookie mistake to be doing what I'm doing, going with last week's picks, knowing as volatile as college football is these days. But I'm sticking with Penn State. I'm sticking with Jimmy and his bunch.
Here's my snack of the day pick for you,
bring it,
Andrew. What I am going to do is I'm going to likely have some fried wings with Old Bay seasoning on top for my Maryland Terps pick.
That's
the snack of the day, thematic to Maryland beating Penn State.
I love it. I was going to ask you towards then.
I know you were,
but
I had it prepped.
Food's
Old
important
Bay
to
seasoning.
This show.
It
Old
is.
No
seasoning.
Doubt.
You can't. Yeah,
something's got to be.
No doubt.
Absolutely. Red River Rivalry, huge game every year. Like we said earlier in the show, Charlie Strong really he needs this one. They got this one last year, and I love one of my favorite pictures on planet Earth is Charlie Strong with that hat on. Mm-hmm. It's all over Twitter.
Is this in the Jerry Dome too? I believe, is this in Dallas?
I think it is, actually.
Is
I think
so. Is yeah, the Red Jerry is, Dome, or is it in the Cotton Bowl?
I think it's Cotton Bowl.
Okay.
I'm not the old Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, the old Cotton Bowl, I think. But anyway, it's in
we
Dallas.
We talk
the
to
Red
some
River
sports
Robert.
Radio professionals. We should. See if maybe they can we find should. This information.
Yeah. Our colleagues at ESPN are talking about it right now.
Exactly. No, we know it's in Dallas, but yeah. That's,
it is in Dallas. Yeah. So you're going?
I'm going with Oklahoma. I think they still have something to prove. I feel like they feel like they still have something to prove. And this is a huge game. They're the more talented team. Texas really, it's a gut check time for them. It's either go big or go home. I mean, seriously. But Oklahoma is the better team, and I think they're going to.
Mark, you bailed on your buddy Mayfield already this year.
I did
your namesake.
Are
you going back to him?
I'm going back to
him
because Texas keeps letting me down. Yeah. So, you know, I'm going back to Baker Mayfield and you know, middle game Bob or medium game Bob, right. whatever phrase you had
it's
against
medium game
him.
Bob. Medium
about him. But I'm going with OU on this.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's go. Let's make it a straight. I'm going Oklahoma as well for all
so
those same reasons.
Texas absolutely is going to win then.
I think
is
yeah,
that
exactly.
Right? Is that right?
That's a good choice.
Got it.
This is a pseudo ACC game with Notre Dame's new kind of weird contract. Notre Dame at NC State. What do you guys think?
I don't feel good about this game, but I'm going to pick Notre Dame. Even on the road, yeah, they're more talented.
They should win this game,
but. You know, they
should
proved
do a lot
us,
of
they proved
things.
Us wrong right. in the past.
Right. They should be relevant past 1985.
Right,
as well,
exactly. I'm picking Notre Dame.
Yeah, sure. I'm going with the Irish on this. You know, I don't really care about NC State, really.
Right.
not sold on them. I wouldn't buy anything from them, actually. Right. But I think if Notre Dame can't win this game, they need to just close up and go home.
I agree. So, they should win this game. I've got some good friends that are NC State fans. And every once in a while, the Wolfpack will pull out a game like this. But I don't think it's today.
For sure.
Notre Dame wins it. So here's a game that should matter and is not as thrilling as normal. But this is LSU going into Ocala. And there's some questions about what time this game's going to be, depending on the hurricane. At press time for us, there's still a couple things up in the air with the state of Florida and this hurricane. But let's assume it happens today. LSU at Florida early this morning. What do you have there, Andrew?
I'm going with LSU. First of all, I'd like to say this is not the LSU-Florida game of 2007 or what it would have been. So I'm going with LSU. I think Coach O still has that team fired up. If you could understand what he's saying, I think he's got him fired up. Florida's just not a great team this year.
He's a good coach that's due for a big job.
He is.
This may be it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they had turnover Wednesday this week, which was really exciting. So I'm going with LSU. I think they're the better team.
Yeah, I'm going with LSU. I think they stabilized a few things last week, and they're a better team than Florida.
And just because Les Miles got fired, that doesn't change the talent that they have on that team, and that Florida just simply
they've got more to rally around than Florida
does. They do.
I don't think Florida knows what's happening. I don't think the swamp means anything anymore either.
I agree.
Another kind of Auburn Mississippi State, another SEC game that feels like it should mean more than it will, but. Auburn at Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State takes this game. I don't think Auburn can figure it out. I'm just going to go right out and say that's my pick. What about you, boys?
You swayed me. I'm going Mississippi State as well. I had Auburn circled. Might have just gave you the kiss of death there. Maybe. But I love Dan Mullen. I'm going Mississippi State.
You know what?
I love Dan Mullen. I would absolutely play for Dan Mullen.
You're a Mullen guy.
It's not really up to you who you play for.
Right.
You know that, Andrew, right?
I know.
All right.
But I don't know. I'm a big Mullen guy.
All right.
He's fun. He's upbeat.
What do you call that? A Mullingan?
No.
That's
good. It's good stuff.
A Mullingoon.
Well, look, I hate to do this, but I'm going with Auburn, and I don't want to. I hope I'm wrong on this one, but I think Auburn's good enough to beat.
You think they're good enough to beat Mississippi State? That's probably.
I think they're good enough to win that,
and I think they will win it. Mullen's had a pretty good record, I think, against Auburn, you know, over the years, but I think Auburn's improved, especially defensively, and I think they win a game that's going to be pretty ugly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Hey, we got you know, a huge game.
One of the games of the day,
2:30. Tennessee at A&M. Who you guys got?
I think in College Station, A&M pulls it out. I think Tennessee is going to have a tough time staying up for another week. I think if Tennessee was at home, I would pick Tennessee. But I think at A&M, I think A&M continues their win streak.
It all depends on whether Tennessee can come out fast or not. And they've proven that they can't. So I'm going to actually go against Tennessee and pick A&M, especially with the 12th man. I think it's too much for the Vols. The way that they've played this year, they're good enough to win this game, but they haven't proved it.
You can't wear the Smoky Grays every week. No, I just can't.
No. Yeah. No.
I'm with you guys on this. I think A&M's the better team.
I hope we're wrong.
I think they win it, and I think they give Tennessee their first loss of the season. And
just jacks we'll them see. Up for us next week.
Yeah, right? Right. I mean, you know. So we'll see. Virginia Tech at North Carolina. Who you guys got?
North Carolina. I think they keep it going. Yeah. They got a full head of steam after that big win last week. I'm picking North Carolina.
I'm picking them too. I think Virginia Tech's under the radar. They got a new coach. They're trying to figure it out. But North Carolina, I agree. At home, I think they pull it out.
Yep, I agree. I'm with UNC on that. Game I don't care about, but we need to pick because it should be a decent game at 2:30 also today. BYU at Michigan State. Who you guys got?
I think this is an interesting one. I don't care about it either, but Michigan State's gotten routed recently.
Yep, they have. I'm not going to watch a second of this game, but I'm going to pick Michigan State. They're at home. They have to rally. You know, I think they still have enough good players to win this
so
game.
So I think this is going to be on TV2 in the Starrett household, and I'm going BYU. I think BYU goes in there and fun and guns and scores a bunch of points, and I don't think Michigan State can keep up in a shootout, and I don't think their defense is where it normally is at this point.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Michigan State to hold the fort at home. So I'm going to – I think I'll go with that. But I don't –
It's very irrational.
I won't be
– It is. It's very irrational. You're not going to watch it.
Yeah,
right.
I won't be watching it either. So
your TV is going to be tuned to Colorado USC already. Absolutely. Watching the pregame for
no
that.
Doubt, right. No Buffaloes. Doubt. Right. Those Buffaloes and the Trojans. Yeah, that's the next one. 3 o'clock Central Time today. Who you guys got?
I think USC is going to win this one for sure. They're the better team. Like I said, they've stayed out of the media the past couple weeks. They've really bonded together. And so I think they're going to win this game.
Yep. I agree. I think USC wins big.
I agree. I totally agree with you guys. I think Trojans have it together now, and Colorado's had a good run. None of us expected it, I don't think. But they've been pretty good. But
right.
USC's really stabilized that program after a rough start to the season.
They've got the Andrew Deere game of the day coming up also at 3 o'clock here. Yeah. The Commodores at the Stoopsies.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I know you're biting your fingernails here. You're kind of worried about this one. Who do you have, Andrew?
So I told – and the reason Adam says that, I told – off air, my two best friends, one went to Vanderbilt, one went to Kentucky. I got invited to come to this game. I'm not going to drive 7 hours to see this game. I love those guys, would love to hang out with them, but I think Kentucky's going to win the game, and I do not feel confident about that at all, to be completely honest.
It'll feel like 7 hours if you try to watch this game, so you don't need to drive. I'm picking Kentucky, too. I think my buddy Stoops is going to pull out a win. He is my boy.
Yeah, I'm going with Kentucky. I think Kentucky showed us last week against Bama that you know, they've got a decent team. They don't have a really good team, but they've got a team good enough to beat Vandy at home.
Right.
That's the way I look at it.
So there you go.
You should put that on a billboard. Right. Good enough team to beat Vandy at home.
What are you looking for in your new Kentucky coach? Just beat Vanderbilt at
Listen,
home.
Listen, if you can just beat Vandy at home once every 2 years,
that'd be great.
They'll tear down the goalpost.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We'll give you $1.4 million.
Yeah.
5:30, let's go out west a little bit. We've got your Huskies, the beloved Huskies, now at the Ducks. And I'm just going to say that I think I'm taking Huskies over Ducks.
For sure, especially what they did against Stanford.
Yeah.
I am too.
Oregon, not a lot of talk about Oregon. I mean, are they – Helfrich, one of the guys on the hot seat, is, you know – They're obviously not the same team. So
if you're Oregon, you got to just take what you can get at this point.
Yeah, right? Oregon's they're not having a good year, and they're not a good. They have no defense. It's not a good team. Right. Washington, I think, is going to let them have it. They're gonna get some revenge out for the games that Oregon's delivered to them over the last few years. So I'm with Washington.
We're skipping our game here, right, and save it for the end, and we'll talk about the Bulldogs with their tough loss at South Carolina, who still plays NCAA football. I think the Bulldogs are going to recover and just beat them up.
I do too, for sure. It does not matter that this game is at South Carolina. Georgia wins.
Yeah, I agree. Georgia win this one. South Carolina's not a good team.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yep. Adam, we got your Florida State team going into Miami. That's a pretty big game down there.
It is a big game.
If they play it.
It's still up in the air. I want you all to pick first.
I'm taking Florida State over. Nice guy, Mark Rick. One of the biggest challenges for them this year, for sure, obviously the biggest challenge to date, I'm taking Florida State.
All right, I'm with Miami on this, and I hate to go against Adam here, but, you know, Florida State's had some problems here lately. Miami's playing pretty well. I mean, they are. Rick's actually doing better at Miami than Kirby's doing at Georgia right now. So I'm going with Miami.
Right. So I am going to go with Miami, and it goes against everything in my soul. My soul is not where it was a week ago. It's kind of had some tough times.
It's win-win. You know, Florida State wins. You lose the pick. But, you know, I've got some thoughts
about Mark Richt that I'll share in later shows, but we'll just leave them for now. Right. But I think Miami's going to win it.
All right.
Let me give you a caveat. I'm going to stop you, Mark. If we delay it for some reason, Florida State has a chance to win it. But if it gets played this weekend, I think Florida State loses clearly.
Okay. But if it's delayed, that's a good point.
There you go.
All right. Late night, UCLA at Arizona State. Who you guys got?
Bruins.
I'm going Arizona State, but I'll be asleep before it kicks off.
I'm going Arizona State, too.
There you go. All right, guys, that'll do it for the picks in the SEC and around the nation, except for one, the Crimson Tide and the Arkansas Razorbacks. We'll be right back to discuss the game. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 Capstone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back once again to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, Alabama begins a stretch of three games with ranked teams today. First at Arkansas, then over to Knoxville against Tennessee, and then back here against Texas A&M. It's a huge stretch. We've talked about it earlier in the show. We've got really, really a tough four or five weeks in a row here, even with the break. The meat of our season. Starting at Arkansas, which is, 18, 20, somewhere in there, top 20, 18? Is that right?
Yeah. 16, I believe.
16?
Yep. I think. Yeah.
Their only loss coming to a top 10 Texas A&M team.
There you go.
For sure. So.
Yeah.
So it's a big game. And, you know, the last few times we've gone out to Arkansas, we've had kind of a tough time with them. Low-scoring affairs. I don't know what they do over there in Fayetteville, but
it's too far.
Too far.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough, you know, going against Arkansas any year with Belima's team. They're big, they're physical. Mm-hmm. It's a you know, you get beaten up. You know, it's going to be a tough game just from that standpoint, especially there in Fayetteville. I mean, I worry about injuries for Bama.
Absolutely.
Arkansas has lost, I believe, 9 in a row to Alabama. Mm-hmm. I think they've lost every year Saban's been here. It's a streak they want to end. They do think they've got a good enough team to do it, and they do have a good team. It's a better team this year.
I'll say I think they're good enough to do it if Alabama doesn't come out and take care of business like they're supposed to. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, Arkansas is a good program. I mean, Belima's, it's taken him a while, but he's built that program back from a few years ago. Bama was beating them 52-0.
Right.
That team. So.
And I think. We would probably all agree, though, and you can't do this if you're on the team, but we certainly are not on the team, so we can do whatever
we
want. But I'm a little more worried about going to Tennessee than I am going to Arkansas, but that's the trap. And so if the team is doing that, and I'm sure Coach Saban's doing a pretty good job of making sure they're not doing that, but I think while the Arkansas team is better, I think we're a little better, too, and we're not going to let them sneak up on us, certainly. Yeah. And I think a couple years ago they snuck up on us going out there that – ugly, low-scoring affair, and the weather was bad, and it was just a perfect storm of us being bad.
I think what you said is important. Arkansas wants this.
Yeah.
They do.
And they want it bad. And it's really going to come down to how bad does Alabama want it. And obviously they do, but not looking past this Arkansas team is going to be huge.
And nobody out there is talking about Arkansas as being an actual player in this. Right. And, taking a loss to Texas A&M, beating us, and us beating Texas A&M gets them back in the mix pretty quick.
It does.
And at some point, I mean, Bama can't beat them forever. At some point, Arkansas is going to win this game down the road, I think. But a night game in Fayetteville, I mean, it starts at, 6 o'clock? Mm-hmm. That's a tough
call. Calling the Hogs.
They're calling the Hogs.
It's 4 a.m. Arkansas time.
Right.
Or whatever time. I might as well be on the
West Coast.
I don't know.
I don't know, but it's tough. But, you know, the question for us here is, are we going to pick against Bama at any point over the next 4 weeks or 5 weeks? We got these three in a row. Then Bama has a break, the bye week, and then they got LSU and Baton Rouge. But those are four tough games coming up because LSU's also, stabilizing the program.
Right.
So going into Baton Rouge, it's going to be tough as well.
I don't think this week, me personally, I'm not going to pick. Obviously, I'm not going to pick against them. But it depends on what Tennessee or Texas A&M do against each other this week, and you know, who wins that game going forward. When Texas A&M rolls into town, or when we go to Tennessee, that this weekend is going to really dictate how those games go. Whether we are going to pick against Alabama at some point.
I think mathematically the only time that you would pick, and I say you meaning like the rest of the country, not us, but I think the only time you could pick against us in that stretch is Texas A&M. And depending on exactly what Andrew said, is if A&M kind of blows out Tennessee this week, and either we're slow or we don't beat the teams like we should over the next 2 weeks, I could see Texas A&M. But them coming into here, it's almost like we're going to have to lose in the next 2 weeks or something like that in order for somebody, the country to pick against us as far as just pure odds go.
And I think if Tennessee beats up on Texas A&M this week, I'm still not going to pick them to beat Alabama.
It's a
mental thing with Tennessee. It was with mental thing with them against Florida. This Alabama team has that mental edge over the Vols right now. And I think that plays a huge role that we don't talk about enough.
No, that's true. So, although, you know, last week we had Pat Forty on the show from Yahoo Sports, and he made a good point that if you look back, though, over the last few years, Bama's lost a game every year, except 2009 when they went undefeated. But they've lost a game in the SEC West every year. Mm-hmm. And so it's been Ole Miss the last 2 years before this year. So the odds of Bama going unbeaten through the whole – thing are not huge, really great, except that this is probably the best Alabama team we've seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of the entire talent level at one time.
Which is fascinating compared to how good teams have been in the past.
Yeah, but, you know, the quarterback is Hurts is just a freshman, so he's going to be better next year than he is this year. But because he is the quarterback, we now have a quarterback who really puts pressure on the defense. I mean, they have to prepare for him running or throwing, and that's something Bama has not really had that much of.
That hasn't been the type of team that we've won with.
Yeah, and we have probably the best receiving core in the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at all of them together, Stewart needs to get healthy, and you know, but
I love watching him carry that sledgehammer.
I know.
That's my favorite thing. I think we've talked about it in previous shows, but Alabama having a solid quarterback, like you know Hurts is the starter, he is the guy. I think that's huge. And like I said, we talked about it usually takes a few weeks for Alabama to figure out who that guy is, and with Blake Barnett deciding to quit and transfer, that Hurts has become the guy. So I think that's a huge for Alabama.
Just waiting for Tennessee when I think CBS has the game, and you know, Vern has to call Jalen Hurd versus Jalen Hurts.
That's gonna be interesting. I can't wait. Tennessee, I think, is on CBS the next 2 weekends. That'll make 4 or 5 in a row, the most in the history of the SEC.
And when did Tennessee – what did they do to deserve all this great – they had game day went to Bristol, right?
Yep.
And game day, are they with – they're at A&M.
They're at A&M this weekend.
Yeah, with Tennessee then.
The third time. And if Tennessee wins, they're most likely going to be in Knoxville the week after.
As somebody who does – and I know you're a Vol guy, Andrew, but as somebody who does not like that orange, who thinks it should be banned and the style cops should arrest anybody wearing it,
you should put that in the next Alice issue.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I'm just like – I don't get it till they really win something.
Yeah. Right.
That's the thing. And if they beat Alabama, then that's it. Or even A&M this weekend will make a big difference.
That's a big win for the way I view them.
Yeah.
That's fair, and it's – yeah, I absolutely agree. They've got to prove it for sure.
Yeah, they do, and they have lucked out. And although you know you got to have some luck, every team has to, even really good teams at some point down the road has to have some luck to get to the playoffs.
You got to have luck, and you got to make plays. Period.
Yeah.
Is that time of the game next week already announced? Is that the 2:30?
I think it's 2:30 at CBS for sure.
Yeah. So
it's locked in.
But you know, it's you do get the feeling that you could say Arkansas is a trap game for Alabama.
Right.
But the point, but you know, the way Saban plays this, Arkansas is such a good team there's no taking Arkansas for granted tonight at all. I mean, Bama will show up to play and I think play really well
for sure.
What are you guys thinking about the game itself? What do you expect to see?
I think Adam mentioned it last time they were there last year. It was a slow, sloppy, low-scoring game. Hopefully, we don't see that. But I I think we will, honestly.
I don't know that our team is built to play that type of game all that much right now.
Right.
I think the running game, while coming on a little bit in recent weeks, has not been our strength. So I think we're going to spread it around, and I think Jalen may run a little bit more than usual, and I think that may be where the running game opens up. And I think we put some points on the board. I think it's more of a 27-28 to kind of 13. I think they're going to get some scores.
Yeah.
But I'm picking Bama in that kind of 27-10-13 range.
I hope you're right, for sure.
I think if it comes down to a 14-10 game, I'm a little concerned, just because that I just don't
Arkansas
feel
– loves that, too. They want to play
they
that.
They like
grimy.
That. And I don't feel like our 30. Alabama team this year is – that's a Derrick Henry team.
Yeah.
Last year and the year before that's made to
Who
win that
win
game.
Who can win in the trenches?
I don't know that that's how we should be winning games right now, just how we are best equipped to win games.
Yeah, I think if it comes down to a really tight game like that, or an overtime game, I think Arkansas would win that.
Yeah, I do too. And that's strange.
That crazy game last year against Ole Miss, they've been in those. I mean,
they've been in them, and they're at home and all that. But I don't think it'll come down to that. And Bama has not had a close call yet. I mean, they've played well. I mean, they haven't. You know, there've been games. Even last week, they could have played better in the first half.
Right.
But I think it's going to be something like 35-10 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First of all, Arkansas's offense is not going to put fear into Bama.
No, they're not.
You know, Bama's D. They can handle this offense.
Right.
On defense. So I agree with you, Adam. I think they'll score. I think Arkansas will get some points, but I'm sort of saying 35-10. I may be too optimistic about Bama's offense in this game, but I think they're ready for it.
You know, I agree with your points about the close game, and I think in a close game, your freshman quarterback generally starts to show their age and their experience. And so that's where I get a little bit concerned, and our need to throw the ball down the field to open things up.
Early and often.
And so if it gets too close and we're still throwing the ball around in the fourth quarter and he's scrambling around and laying the ball on the dirt, I could see that be an issue. But, 35 is a lot of points, Mark. I agree, but I think Arkansas gets a touchdown and maybe gets on the other side of the field a few times, enough to kick a ball, but I don't think they're going to score two touchdowns.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a 13-3 or, you know, 20-10, something like that. So I think it's going to be a little more low scoring. Hopefully Hurts doesn't show his age in those tight situations, but we'll see. He's going to have to at some point.
Yeah.
As we all know, he's going to have to at some point. Well, hopefully against Arkansas instead of A&M or Tennessee or LSU.
There's no doubt Arkansas's game plan on defense is to put pressure on Hurts.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt they're trying to put him down.
And they're going
to
go all in on that.
Yeah, they will. They'll go all in on that, and they'll blitz him. They'll do everything they can. They've got to stop Bama's running game.
Right.
But, a lot of it depends on –
And that'll open up the running options for Hurts, like you said earlier.
Yeah. But they'll – You know, you just know Bielema is going to try to take advantage of a freshman. He's going to try to do that.
Yeah.
But so far, Hurts has played above his years. And I think, we're going to see that. Now, he did miss some throws last weekend. He missed some wide open receivers, and he also missed some receivers that were wide open he threw the other way, too.
Right.
He'd clearly chosen his receiver before the snap.
Yeah, he had. So, you know, he's got to get better at that. But I tell you what, he's been very poised overall.
It's been fun to watch.
And he's played some big games. I mean, not like this stretch coming up, though.
But still, yeah.
I mean, he was the Ole Miss game.
So I think
neither of you gentlemen are going to the game, right?
No.
So we'll all be watching from
we'll
home
here.
Today. Right. If you're in town and you're interested in watching the game on some big screens, you can head over to the Ferguson Center an hour before kickoff. We've got seven screens over there showing the game, free food, prizes. Students, bring your ID. It's a good place to watch the game. Gentlemen, we've reached another end of a show here at Skybox. If you're heading to Fayetteville for Bama, Arkansas, be careful on the road. If you're heading to Ferg, also be careful, but it's a shorter road. Thanks to Terry Siggers, our producer, who's also the GM of the station. Thanks also to Dylan, who is helping us out today. Thank you all for taking the time to listen in. We'll be back next week. You've been listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.